will now call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Education for Monday, January 9th. Mrs. Retcher, will you take the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney.
Here.
Mrs. Linkman.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mrs. Perak.
Here.
Mr. Sperling.
Here.
Mrs. Yule.
Here. Would you all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you all for joining us today. I think we have a couple celebrations, and that's wonderful, but it's also important to celebrate the beginning of what's sure to be another exciting and wonderful year in D303. I have a list of citizen comments. Mrs. Perak, would you read the statement?
The school code, am I right?
Just to remind everybody, it's push the guy with the little speaker.
There we go.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personal matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you. The first and only speaker today is Edna, speaking on bilingual curriculum. Would you please come to the microphone? And please give us your name and your last name, please.
Yes.
Thank you.
My name is Anna Rubio, and I have a son that goes to Davis. He's in the bilingual program. And my question, I have actually three questions. One of them is, why did the school board change the curriculum from 80-20 from last year to this year 50-50?
And then just so you know, the board receives your comment, and your questions will be answered at a later time. We don't answer them as we sit here, but we're very interested in what you have to say.
Oh, okay. And then the other one is, why in the district website there is no information about the bilingual program?
Okay, thank you. And if I could respond to this.
Anna, if you, Dr. Raitzer, raise your hand right there. She's in charge of the elementary and the bilingual programming, so sometime either tonight or later on, if you two could connect up, I think she could answer a lot of your questions in regards to that.
Yes.
So that help you?
Perfect.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sloman. Next on the agenda is the superintendent's report.
Well, we are here to... Thank you for reminding me. I
turned it off. Thank you. We are here tonight at Thompson, and we have some wonderful orchestra to start with, and I had a chance to meet those individuals for just a second there tonight. But I want to, where is Mr. Liberski? Mr. Liberski is going to come up, I think, and tell us a little bit about who was playing in the orchestra, but then in addition to that, what else he's got planned for us tonight?
Okay. Welcome to Thompson Middle School. Tonight I'd like to give you just a brief overview of some of the things that are extraordinary happening at Thompson. You heard one of those things as you walked in, which is our orchestra. So actually I'm going to introduce them in just a second to play the students who are playing tonight. If you guys would give a wave when I call your name, or Louise Shannon on violin.
Could they stand up because we can't see
them? Oh, stand up so they can see you. There you go. Louise Shannon on violin. Emily Bales on violin. The ever young Carol Dahlstrom on viola. Who retires this year, actually. Brandon Moffitt on cello, and Michael Parcheski on the bass as well. So we'd like to welcome them. And one neat thing about this group is, for decades, Thompson's had an amazing orchestra program. This year, we're proud to announce that Mrs. Dahlstrom is going to be taking her Pro Arte group to the Illinois Music Educators Association Convention on January 27th. and that's a big honor. I believe they're the only middle school invited to perform there, and it was by audition. So we're really excited, and Mrs. Dahlstrom, if you'd take it away. That's going to perform. This is kind of a select ensemble who were able to come tonight. One of the things that we look for in any great program is that it takes ordinary kids and they do extraordinary things. You look at what our elementary school does with music and carries on to middle school and then to the high school. We understand why so many of our graduates go on to perform in college and to take on music majors. It's really extraordinary music that we see in our district. So excited. We also have an exciting thing going on at Thompson. In the back room over there, we have created what's called a makerspace. And in a minute, Megan Cannon and some students will tell you a little bit about the maker movement and what that is. We do a lot of different clubs at Thompson, anything from Dungeons and Dragons to Games Club. But one of the clubs we've created is a group called MIT, which is run by Megan Cannon and Marie Lejenski. That stands for Makers, Innovators, and Thinkers. And they're going to come up and tell you a little bit about it, but I'd like to introduce Megan Cannon, who has some students that will then talk to you a little more.
Hello, good evening. My name is Megan Cannon, as Mr. Liberski mentioned, and this year we had the opportunity to transform what was our current desktop lab here into a makerspace. So with me this evening are a couple of our students, Emily McHenry and Patrick Rafferty. They played a major role in this process. Not only are they involved in Club MIT, but they also are a part of our Makerspace Committee, They went out and visited other makerspaces in the community to gather inspiration. They helped make some important decisions as to what they'd like to see in our space. And they even presented to our PTO to share the importance with them. So I'm excited that they are here this evening to tell you a little bit more about what a makerspace is and the new possibilities that have opened up for our Titans with this space.
Henry, and I bet you're wondering, what is a makerspace? A makerspace is somewhere where you can invent, learn, and build. A makerspace is a place where creativity has no limits and all ideas are accepted. Some examples of tools found in our makerspace are 3D printers, little bits, ozone box, sewing machine, and much more. Our makerspace is not just full of tech, but also art, like sewing machines, weaving, and painting. They also have hands-on materials like Legos, clay, and much more. Now, our maker space here at Thompson gives all our TMS students, it's called our makery, a chance to access new materials and resources that will open our level of current knowledge to new horizons. The new and unknown materials that are located in our makerspace also help kids think outside the box and learn how to problem solve like never before. The makerspace is also a way to encourage kids to work as a team and as they approach those problems, promoting both teamwork and a growth mindset. Next to talk to you about what we've done with our makerspace is Patrick Reck.
So you know what a makerspace is, but you might want to know what we're doing in the makerspace. So in the makerspace, we've been doing various things in order to enhance learning beyond what we were able to do before. Some of these things include digital media classes that have filmed commercials with the green screen that we have. So instead of just recording against the back of the wall, we are now able to create recordings in various different places, from Hawaii, Paris, Eiffel Tower, stuff like that. So then foreign language classes have been able to create recordings to demonstrate their Spanish using the new recording equipment that we had, because before we just had iPads, now we actually have professional recording equipment, which makes it a lot more engaging and better quality. Then in language arts, we've been doing various things in order to make stories come to life, including programming some of the robots in order to represent the stories. Then, in the new club in Thompson called Club MIT, we've been using the makerspace to go beyond what anyone else has really done before. So in MIT, we've done various things, including programming robots, programming computer programs. Then we've also went on to the creative side, too. We've made cardboard arcade games. We've done various art projects, lots of things like that. So that's pretty much... So we plan on expanding what we're able to do on there slowly. Right now we're just getting started with everything.
So we're very excited to tell you a little bit more about our makerspace. Thank you guys for coming and talking on behalf of our students here at Thompson. And we're excited to see what else is in store for it.
So those are just two of the things we're doing at Thompson, both our orchestra and our club MIT and our makerspace. Some really cool stuff going on. I don't know if you've heard, but the spring is going to be very busy here at Thompson, as well as all of our other middle schools, so we're looking forward to some great stuff. If you'd ever like to come visit the orchestra class or what's going on in the makerspace, just call and we'd love to invite you. Thank you for coming to Thompson tonight.
Can I ask a question? Let me ask a question. You have a lot of things on that cart that I've never seen before. I was wondering if you would tell the board about it.
You need to lock them all, too.
They'll come and tell you. So one of our goals as we look at this program is to really create what's called a STEAM program, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math, along with all sorts of creativity. So the kids talk about everything from sewing machines to clay and stop action animation. So there's all different things that they're going, but they will come up and tell you a little bit about some of these things on here. So why don't you just highlight a few of the things on here?
Okay, so some of the things we have on here. So this is Google Cardboard. So basically, it's virtual reality. All you do is you put a phone in here, and after that, you can use virtual reality. So you can use it to explore different things. Like, if you want, we're doing a research project on the Great Reef, then you could actually go to the reef with this. Then one of the other things we have is a Raspberry Pi, which this is a small computer that you're able to program and make various things with. So you're able to program lights with it, computer programs, things like that. Then this is a robot that's called the Dash. What it does is you're able to program it to do various things. Actually, I can turn it on right now. It's charged.
Oh, it's charged.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little one too. So what these do is you're able to program it in order to move around, look, you can even have it say things, and this lets you create storylines using the robots.
It's all using the Scratch computer program.
Yeah. So then on top of that, there's a bunch of other things on here, and this is just the small bit that we were able to put on the card. So there's a lot more, but we're not able to fit it all in one card. Then there's also the 3D printer that we have that's running back there right now. So you might have saw that while you're walking in, too.
Emily also has a 3D food printer at home. It prints all in pancakes.
So I get to eat things, everything from Trump's face to my face to cows.
Really?
Any other questions from the floor?
Very, very creative. Raspberry Pi, now that's a small version, is it not? Have you worked with it yet?
We haven't worked with it too much yet. What it is this is the computer itself inside a case. Mm-hmm. What you do is you attach various things to it, like one, you might want to attach a monitor to it so you can see the screen on it. And you can also attach other things, like you can attach LEDs to it, you can attach motors to it, and then create programs that interact with the things you attach to it. So if you want to, once you're done, you can look at some of this stuff up close.
That would be cool. Please leave it here so
yeah,
we'll
leave it
here.
Yeah,
we'll leave it here. Thank you.
Yeah, and the room back there will be open too if you want to look
Very
in
cool.
there.
Thank you.
And I was just wondering, is this the first year of this club?
Yeah, but this is the club's first year, and the makerspace we've been building throughout this year.
And how many students, how often do you meet, and how many students are involved?
The club meets on Thursdays after school. Usually there's around 20 of us.
20, 30.
Usually.
And the beauty of it is that not just the kids in the club can visit it, anyone really can.
Yeah.
So if a kid comes in early to school and wants to go to the library, they might be able to actually go in and program a robot or do some coding instead of just sitting in the room, they can go and do more.
Yeah, since Makerspace is open at the same time as the library is, so you can get in the Makerspace before and after school.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you so much, Mr. Zabersky and the staff and everyone else. Is there anyone else here from your staff that you want to introduce? Okay, great. Secondly, is tonight we have a special little development that's happened to one of our coaches, and I had this whole thing prepared to say, but now I see there are better people to say it than I am able to, so I'm going to let Audra and Dan, whichever one of you drew the short straw in regards to getting up and telling us a little bit about who we're honoring tonight and why.
Thank you very much, Dr. Schulman. Board of Education. We're here tonight for Lindsay Hawkins. I'm going to let her talk a little bit more about the award that she won, but just in general, Lindsay has done a fantastic job creating a volleyball program. If you think of it as a math class or a social science class, you think of scaffolding and building upon skills, and that's exactly what Lindsay and her coaches do for our girls who come to the door to play volleyball. And it's not limited just to volleyball skills. She does a wonderful job. She's got a mentoring program with her junior and senior varsity athletes, mentoring freshmen and sophomore girls, and she really develops a family-type atmosphere. And as you can see, that is very evident, very supportive family, always around. It's really wonderful to see, especially with the amount of time that's invested with North and the volleyball program. So I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay. She did win a national award this year. She knows a little bit more about it. It was awarded to her early December.
Lindsay? He can come up.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Hawkins. So I had a parent just nominate me for this award, and then apparently it was considered, my application was considered with about 100 other applicants, and then they narrowed that down to about 30, and then that went to a committee where they narrowed it down to 10 of us. And the 9 other applicants were mostly assistant coaches from Division I schools. There was a club coach and then myself. And so we were then taken to Ohio, where the ABCA, which is the American Volleyball Coaches Association, held the 2016 National Coaches Convention this year in conjunction with the Final Four for volleyball. And basically what they did is through their diversity program, where they are trying to, build up the education for ethnic and minority coaches, they gave us a chance to meet with lots of different professionals within the coaching field. We got to meet with some of the great athletes that were there playing. We got to meet Olympic athletes. Probably my favorite was meeting Carrie Walsh, who is the beach volleyball player. And then we got to meet the head coach of the men's Olympic team, too. So it was very cool just to sit around the table and chit-chat with people who you see on TV every day and think they're all-stars, and they're just regular people like you and me. So, and I just got to learn a lot from them about different coaching strategies and more about actually the building culture in the gym than probably anything else. So.
So, Lindsay, we're not going to let you off that easy, so sorry, but first off, Carrie Walsh is as fit as what she looks like on TV.
She's jacked.
Secondly, did you get her autograph?
I did not.
Oh, come on, girl.
I know. We were working.
Did you get a picture with her?
No, we were working a youth clinic, so we were like really strapped for time, but she did tell me that she is planning to go to Tokyo. And that will be her last game. So.
Okay. And then finally, we'd like you to introduce your family to us. So that would be important for us. So.
That's my husband. He works at East. He's a counselor. Holding my daughter, Jalen. And that's my son, Jamian. And that's my dad. And that's my mom.
Well, we're so proud of you. Congratulations to you, and congratulations to North and what that means for our students at North, too. Board members, do you have anything?
I do. I actually want to step in and say one thing that didn't get said is that Lindsay is our former student. I mean, she was in D3 through K through 12, and was a star on some very great volleyball teams in the early 2000s. And so that's really something to see how that has carried through in your life and led to the really nice honors. Congratulations.
Yeah, I was just curious, was there one or two things that put your application above all the others?
I don't know. I got to read a little bit of what the one particular mom who sent the application in, what she said. And one of the things that the ABCA published was a quote from her, and it just kind of read, you know, my daughter doesn't really play a whole lot, and this particular girl has played for me for all 4 years, and she isn't a girl who plays a lot, but what the mom said was that I take time out of my day to make sure that she's doing okay and to make her feel like a part of the program and a very integral part of the team, and that I care about her as more than just a volleyball player, that she is you know, she babysits my kids. She's over at my house whenever she needs something. So that, I guess, to her mom meant a lot. And so it was interesting for me sitting with, you know, the nine other applicants, and they're all Division I coaches, and for me to be a high school coach where I'm kind of getting them to that stuff. It was interesting to have conversations with them about, you know, what they're looking for in collegiate athletes and how I can do a better job. But that was one of the big things, is like just making sure they're well-rounded people. So
that's great. Yeah. I was going to say congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Lee for their contribution to this wonderful coach in our district.
I'm very proud of you. So I need to say that in public. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you for your mom.
Thank you very much, and appreciate that. Also, you may have heard that we have a couple of kids coughing and not feeling so well lately. We sent out a survey just tonight. I think it was sent out around 5 or 6, some 5 o'clock. It was sent out at 5 o'clock to try to get a feel for how many students might be out tomorrow. The number, I don't know the exact number right now because it's an ongoing survey, but it's big enough that just to let board members know, we'll give you the first, is we will not be having school at East High School tomorrow. Just at East. The other schools are doing fine. The numbers are not, I talked to North today, you know, they're not substantially out of whack, and so we will just be closing East tomorrow, and then we'll be contacting students and others tomorrow to see how things are going, whether they're progressing, and we'll want to see some mitigation of students being able to come back to school. So at the end of the day, we started the day at around 800 students absent. By the end of the day, it was closer to 1,000, and it's above that number right now as far as what would be absent tomorrow. So East will not be, staff will still report. Staff will still be there tomorrow, but the students will be closed for tomorrow. So it just doesn't make much sense to have, you know, only half of your kids in the classroom. So I'll give you first dibs on that information. It's actually going out as we speak right now. That's where Mr. Blaney is right now. He's handling that part of it instead. So, okay.
I've got about 40 texts from my son. Are you talking about it?
So, any other questions about it? We, you know, Mr. Baird, and I think we bought out every bottle of bleach in town. We are out, you know, making sure that we're not only cleaning East, but cleaning all of our schools with a substantial amount of vigor and a substantial amount of bleach. So we've been recommended by the Illinois Department of Public Health, not just the King County of Illinois, and bleach is a 10% solution of bleach is what they recommend for us to use, and so that's what we're using. So all the schools will be doing that as well tonight and every night until we kind of get a handle on where we're at.
What was the staff doing?
Staff was, we had about 28 staff members out today. That's somewhat higher than normal, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, high. And we've gone through the whole thing of, could it be something other than, you know, at first there was rumors that it could have been food poisoning or those kind of things like that, and then realized that, hey, look, this is, there were lots of kids that got it that weren't eating, you know, in the lunchrooms or those kind of things like that. So it appears to be, some sort of viral infection. It appears that it, at least talking with the kids who have it a couple days and they feel better. But it has, during that time period, it comes out pretty quickly and suddenly. If you, on Friday, we had a normal normal day, about 170 some absences at East. That's a fairly typical day for us in the winter. By Saturday night, it appears that we were in the 200s as far as kids were sick. And, you know, and then it just expanded substantially since then. So, what the doctors are saying is telling kids that, you know, and they're, you know, the doctors in the health department have been talking, and so far there's nothing out of the, strange or out of the ordinary other than this is just a large group of kids that are not feeling well. So. Any other questions at all? So that, I think, completes the superintendent's report.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Schulman. That's a news flash. I guess that's why Channel 7 was here.
Yes, I wasn't
We'll move on to the committee reports. And it was a fairly light month, but a big meeting the other day. And so I think our only committee that met was business services.
All right. We did have a pretty lengthy meeting last week. And it was a good discussion about everything. Most of you were there, so I'll kind of give you the highlights. We led off with the Mid-Valley financial reports for October and November. Then we followed them up with the D303 or financial reports for October and November. Those are in your packet for information. We had a revision to the October treasurer's report. That's in your packet for information. And then we got into a discussion about the high school stadium, athletic field, long-range planning. Rutler was there to present their findings, and we'll be having action on that at our February board meeting. Next was Bob Lewis from PMA came and talked to us about our options for a working cash bond. He presented four options, and I believe we settled on option A, which was the resolution for action tonight. Next, Mr. Smith gave us a five-year kind of look at the technology and where we're at and where we're hoping to go in the next 5 years. But as we know, technology changes daily. So, but it was a good look at things and kind of see where we're going. Next, we designated our individual, which was Mr. Chapman, to be the treasurer for the D303 budget for 17-18. We followed that up with a budget calendar, which is hard to believe that we're already discussing that, but we laid that out there. And then we jumped into hearing the audit for the year. And everything looks good there. Then our next item was kind of a preview of an intergovernmental agreement between Elgin and the district about some land that falls in our borders. And Mr. Chapman's working with the city to get a resolution for that. And we'll have that for action once we have that. And then our last item was discussing the relocation of the fuel tanks from actually here at Thompson to over at the bus barn, which is more useful, and we'll get it out of here. We kind of looked at two different options for those of you that weren't there. Either doing an above ground, which has less capacity, or underground, which has the more capacity. And after kind of looking at the ROI on them, and then kind of looking at a 20-year plan, you know, there'll be some cost savings after year nine. So for action, we have the relocation of the fuel tanks for underground at Peck Road. And that's it. Some people said it was a record meeting, but I don't believe it.
It was.
I don't know. But that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You did that pretty succinctly for such a long meeting. The only other thing I could think of is, was there a housing commission meeting?
It was canceled.
It was canceled because it's the holidays.
They are, correct, and they are meeting today to talk about the
potential development that I was speaking about previously at the old St. Charles Mall.
Okay, thank you. I know the coming month is busy with a lot of committee meetings for people as we can try to catch up. Okay, we'll move on to the four action items. And so, do I have a motion to approve the resolution providing for the issue of not to exceed $20 million in general obligation limited tax school bonds, series 2017, for the purpose of increasing the district's working cash funds provided for the levy of a direct annual tax to pay the principal and interest on said bonds, and authorizing the sale of said bonds to the purchaser or purchasers thereof. As discussed at the business services meeting on January 4th, the purpose is for the middle school construction project. The terms and conditions are included in the resolution before you and are consistent with what was discussed at the meeting on January 4th.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Mr. Gaffney. Mr. Sperling. Okay, so this is a significant moment for us, and I know the board has spent a lot of time thinking about what we're going to do and how we'll pay for it, and it was a very interesting meeting. There was clearly no predetermined idea of what we were doing, but the board's decided to do all at once, to let all the bonds, to let them early in 2017, and so I think it was really such a good discussion, but I'm interested if anybody has any other thoughts on it.
So just for clarity, so we're approving this not to exceed $20 million, so if we came back a later date and decided we did want to do 10 and 10, we still could do that. Is that my understanding?
Yeah, forget not to turn this on. You are essentially authorizing the up to $20 million, but yes, you can choose to do 10 and 10 at some later date, or you have that option yet up through whenever we actually complete the borrowing, which would be sometime in February or so.
Okay.
Yeah, so if things change, the interest rates change or whatever, you can choose to do it differently. So.
And if I remember from the meeting, it seems like 1% change in rates is kind of our magic number, so.
Yeah, what PMA said is that it would be better if you would.
You do it all.
Do it all at once if you expect that rates will go up by 1% or more in the next year.
Right.
That you would do it all now. And one of the things that changed right at the end was also you have to consider what's going on with the budget in the state of Illinois. What's going on there, because there is an impact in regards to interest rates there as well.
I mean, no one has a crystal ball. We don't know exactly what rates are going to do, but it wouldn't shock me if they went up 1% or more this year. I think we're good doing the full 20 now.
The only question I have is if we don't need the full 20, that has kind of been my concern from the beginning. If we don't need the full 20, how are we gonna attend to that?
Yeah. So once you have completed the borrowing, let's say for instance, the resolution right now in front of you is for $20 million. If you choose not to complete the full borrowing, we're still getting. Okay, I'm gonna go off the.
It's a little tinny.
I know, it's really getting a lot of feedback. So I'm going to go off the microphone. I think everybody can hear me back there, right? Okay, good. If you choose not to go off, and I'm with Mr. Chapman, if we borrow the 20, or if we make the resolution for $20 million, if they borrow the $20 million, essentially you've now committed for the 20 years. If you borrowed 15 and reserved 5 for later on, you'd have up to 3 years to make that borrowing as well. So you don't have to come. You're essentially making the resolution for $20 million right now. You can reserve. You don't have to finally commit until February when you'll know the numbers better. But once you borrow the money, you are committed to those dollars.
Right. So I guess I'm saying we're going up to 20. So if we, once we finalize the numbers, we say we need $16 million
we're going to issue for 16 as opposed to the 20 because we're going up to 20, if I understand it correctly.
So we'll take another vote in February?
You'll take a vote in February when you're actually borrowing. Well, you'll actually get the borrowing, right, in February?
Yeah, the resolution tonight actually authorizes
the PMA to go forward.
To go to authorize, unless you choose for us to come back to you before we do the bond sale.
But I guess the question would be, we won't have all the bids in or anything by February, so we still won't have solid numbers.
Right. I think the issue here is the market. If something in the market changed, that would push you towards wanting less than $20 million. You'd have that information, but correct, you would not have information about the cost of the project, other than the Red Lake and the potential Norris Recreation Center, all of that.
So, actually, to that point, we probably won't have the bids in or an idea, a better idea, before our time frame is up. We've got till April 4th or something like that, I read.
The bond sale right now would be scheduled for February 2nd. That's the tentative date for the bond sale. You'll have the next business service meeting of January 26th. You'll have the Redling and Norris alternate bids. You will not have anything.
Okay, we won't. Right. That's the bigger.
But we would have any information regarding interest rate or anything strange that had happened in the marketplace between now and then.
So we'd have time to react to it, I guess, is the point.
Your next opportunity, your only opportunity to get the January reserve. Uh-huh.
Okay, so if I understand where we're at. Okay.
So by voting, we're giving approval, but we can change that.
That opportunity would exist, as what Mr. Chapman was saying, sometime at the business services meeting in January, late January. Beyond that, you're kind of committed.
When is the date of that meeting?
January 26th.
So that's about a week away from the sale of the bond.
And so we know that the $15 million we need for middle schools, it's that other five for Norris, Northfield, if we put that in, things like that.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know, for instance, you got a pretty good idea of what the Northfield cost would be, so you know that number pretty well. What we don't know but you will have the bids back in January for Norris. So you will know the alternate bids for Norris, and you will have a good idea as to what that cost would be. So I would suggest to you that those are the two projects that were the most pressing, and you would add those together in January and then potentially make a decision to say, okay, that's as far as we're going to go, maybe, and we're not going to need the rest. And then we would change that, the sale in February. That makes sense to everybody, so you understand?
Yeah, I just want to be comfortable that if we get more information, we'll have time to react to it. That's
right.
That's my main concern.
The thing that we don't want to, not necessarily you don't want to do, but part of it is that you heard it's about, if you divide this into two sales, it's about $50,000 more for fee structures versus one sale. So one sale saves about $50,000 over two sales. So if you, for instance, put off and say, okay, we're just going to save, I'm just going to throw out a number, $2 million, we're going to reserve that. If we don't need it right now, it's going to cost you about an additional $50,000 to do it that way, over and above what if you just did it in one sale. Not saying that's the what you should, but you just need to know that the fee structure does come into play on this stuff.
Is there any more comment or question from the board? None heard. Mrs. Ratcher, will you take a roll call vote, please?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Burrell?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gantney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes. The motion carries unanimously. The next item on our docket on our agenda is the relocation of the fuel tanks. May I have a motion? Mr. Manheim? Mr. Gaffney is the second. So we heard a good little description of it there from Mr. Manheim before. Is there any, does anyone have any more questions about this option? What we're...
Have we decided on above ground or underground?
It's the under.
This is under.
Right. It's a, I, well, you know what, maybe it's worse than having just a little recoup of the...
No?
I think you guys decided it was underground.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I didn't know if you wanted the exact information. It's more gallons. It's,
yes.
Okay.
Cool. Just wanted to make sure.
Is there going to be any environmental remediation here after these tanks are taken out of the ground?
There's been monitoring systems on the tanks here, so we don't expect it to have any environmental remediation, because we know of no leaks. But if there were to be some leaks, then obviously we would have any evidence of that. We'd have to do environmental remediation. But there is a... I'll take you down sometime in the basement of this building and show you that there's this thing that spits out every... few minutes it spits out whether or not there's the tanks are okay or not. Okay. So
that sounds fun.
No, it does.
Any other question? Okay, none heard. Mrs. Rush, we took the roll call vote, please.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Baradic?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell?
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Next item, that's it for action items. We have the consent agenda. Is there anything that anyone would like pulled from the consent agenda? None heard? So, Ms. Rich, would you like, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda? So Mr. McNally?
Second.
And Mrs. Linkemer is the second. And no other, I guess I asked, no other conversation. Would you take the roll call vote, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Parag?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes, motion carries unanimously. Next item are our four information items, including no freedom of information requests, the financial reports, essentially the financial reports, the five-year capital plan. So there's nothing there. And is there any new business that anyone would like to bring up? Nothing? So we will go into closed session. I'd like to have a motion to adjourn to closed session for the purpose of, one, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body, or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity, and two, litigation when an action against affecting or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the meeting. May I have that motion?
So moved.
Mr. Sperling?
Second.
Mr. McNally is the second. So, we're going to close session, about 10 minutes.
If I could just point out for anybody, we will be coming back into open session for potential action after the closed session. So
it's 8:36 and the board is back in session. This is Retford. Would you take the roll?
Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mrs. Parag?
Here.
Mr. Sperling?
Here.
Mrs. Yule?
Here. Okay. The next item up for consideration is a last chance agreement between an employee, district, and St. Charles Education Association. Do I have a motion for approval of the agreement?
So moved.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Second.
Mr. Sperling is the second. Anything else to be said? No? Would you take the vote, please?
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Parag?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
I'll abstain.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries. The next item up for consideration is the resolution authorizing issuance of a notice of remedial warning. Do I have a motion for adoption of the resolution?
Yes, me.
Mrs. Linkmar?
Second.
Mrs. That's her finger there. Mrs. Any other conversation on that? No? Would you take the vote, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Farag?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Caffey?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmar?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. Motion carries. The next item is a settlement agreement. Do I have a motion to approve the settlement agreement and general release by and between Daniela Capusta, Kathy and Pete Capusta, and the Board of Education of St. Charles Community Unit School District 303? Do I have that motion?
So moved.
Mr. Sperling, and a second?
Second.
Mr. Manheim, a second. Anyone have anything to say? It's all been said. May I have a vote, please?
Mr. McNally?
Abstain.
Mrs. Parag?
Yes.
Mr. Sperling?
Yes.
Mr. Caffey?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkmar?
Abstain.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Yule?
Yes. The motion carries. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
You got it, Mr. McNally. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None heard. Thank you.